The net is specifically catch a harvest. That's what it's about. He's after the souls of people. Who believes that this morning? He's after the souls of people because he needs to see his desire fulfilled, his love established, his love expressed to this earth. That God so loves the world that he has. And he needs to use you and I to do that. But a net is equally joined, is equally fitted, and whatever needs is broken, he needs to mend. Who believes that? It's no use going fishing with holes in your net. Amen? Every net needs to be washed before it's sent. So he needs to be prepared in the word. Hallelujah. Not just a good thought or a good idea, but he needs people prepared in the word, knitted and mended together to be one unit, and then he will draw the fish to the right side. He spoke fish, and 153 fish came. And he filled the net. All the fishermen had to do was throw the net. He filled the net. He draws men in for himself. Who believes that? What I've got to do is be a fisher of men. But through the process of that, talk about 1 John 5, you know, we talk about the man that was in that place where he needed to touch, or he was waiting for something to be moved in the pool, the Seder, waiting for something to be stirred in him before he could enter in. He typifies a Christian that always is blaming others for the situation they're in. Well, I've got no one to put me in. Well, you know, always someone beats me to it. I've been waiting 38 years and still no one's helping me. Jesus never addressed his speech at all. At all. Jesus asked him this. Do you want to be made well? Really, what he was saying is, have you got a mindset? Literally, this is the Greek translation. Have you got the mindset and desire to be made well? It was a mind thing that Jesus was addressing. It was a mind thought that Jesus was challenging him with. You're blaming people, but really it's your problem because you have the wrong mindset. And so often, church folk are waiting for a moving and a stirring, going from meeting to meeting, waiting for something to happen, some froth and bubble to get all excited in, and God's saying, get up. That's what Jesus said to me. Get up, pick up your bed, and walk. Had you walked before? Immediately, the strength came. Immediately, he wrapped up that which he was leaning upon for 38 years. And you know, I'm just going to shut this out. Christians, stop keep blaming the past. Today is a brand new day. And his mercies on you every morning. You have an opportunity, and I have an opportunity every morning to choose to walk in that mercy and grace to get up. Amen? Otherwise, I'll just be like him. I haven't got. This ain't happening. Oh, you don't understand. But I'm telling you this morning, Jesus is here to tell you, if he's in you, if you're born again here this morning, there is an anointing in you and on you to get up. Greater is he. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. But our eyes, I'm using this because I didn't think that would work. I'm so caught up trying to make the internet work. But it's hot. Anyway, praise the Lord. Bear with me. Vision is such an essential sense to us. It is the most important, I believe, of all senses. For vision gives the ability to see, and not just see what's in front of me, but to see what's ahead of me. It brings a perspective and it can cause a focus in me. Is that what your eyes do? Bring a perspective and focus. But the problem is the vision is not so necessarily what you see, but Vision is a matter of the heart and mind. Vision is a matter of your heart and mind. Did you buy that? It affects the status of my heart or mind, whether I am looking at it, either large, small, dainty, or just by the appearance of. Vision is such a powerful sense that it was the sense that Jesus knew the most. Eyes, blindness. Turn with me to 1 John 5:3. 1 John 5:3 says this. The blind, the lame, the paralyzed, all waiting for a move, all waiting for a stirring of the waters. Three categories Jesus mentioned specifically. The blind, the lame, the paralyzed. The blind, the lame, the paralyzed. They were waiting at the place called Bethsaida. Five porches. Five means grace. Bethsaida literally means the house of grace and the house of mercy. They were waiting. And you can wait there. And you can keep waiting there. And what God will do is allow you to wait there until you get provoked enough and stirred up to say, I've got to get up. I've got to get up. So here are these three things. We're going to talk about the first thing. Blindness. Blindness. There's two types of blindness mentioned in the Bible. One, a man was born blind. And one had lost their vision. The man who was born blind has never seen. He speaks of the lost. He's never seen. He's never saw the image. His eyes have never been opened to the things of God. He's lost. He needs a creative miracle. He needs not just a touch, he needs a creative miracle. In the book of Mark, chapter 8, I believe, it says this, that the man that was born blind, Jesus went to him and he took him out of the city, or his town. Led him out of the town. See, a born, an unsaved person has to be led out of where they were first living. Led out of the town. Jesus then laid hands on him, mixed his spit with some dust. The dust speaks of humanity. We are made of the dust of the earth. Spit is antiseptic. It's also a viral healer. It's got so many properties. He mixed it. Don't go ahead, spit it. He mixed it. He made the mud. He created the mud and he put it on his eyes and he got a creative miracle. When you got born again, you got a creative miracle. You are a brand new creation in Christ. Not some hashed up, mixed up stuff. He made you born again. A creative miracle was in the process, he was created. And if you turn with me, I think it's in Isaiah 43. 43:8. Isaiah 43:1. It says, but now thus saith the Lord, who created thee, O Jacob, and who formed thee, O Israel. I want you to just think of them two words. Who created you, O Jacob? Who formed you, O Israel? Israel and Jacob are the same person. He was Jacob in the flesh, but he had become Israel in spirit. The man of the spirit is formed. Every man's created. Every man's created in the image of God. But only Israel of God is formed. And that means he has to have his hand and his fingerprint on your life to form you and fashion you. This man was a Jacob. He got born again. I saw, seen Jesus. And in fact, when he saw men walking as what? Walking as truth. God had created a vision that he could see what he should, what we all should be seeing as men. I think it's something, aren't we, our trees of righteousness?
back of the road. I see men walking against trees. He was seeing in the spirit. Jesus didn't fail in the prayer. Because Jesus had the fire. Jesus didn't have to pray again because the first prayer didn't work. He prayed, but what he actually prayed was spirit to spirit, and he saw spiritually. He had to pray again and say, hey, he's going to see people as people. So he prayed again, and he saw it in the natural. So this man was told to go to a place called Sin. I love this. Jesus said to him, go to the pool. The pool's called Sent. Then the next word says, and he went. Go, Sent, went. When you get vision, when your vision is restored, when your heart, your mind's vision is restored, he'll tell you to go. He'll send you, and you better wait. Go, sing, send to pull your soul, which means sing. Israel, you form me. Hello, Israel, the Lord. Israel, you form me. God's purpose right now on earth is to form his church to reflect Christ. Let this world not involve Christ in the heavenly glory. He needs that vision restored. That means if I'm going to get to that place where I humble myself and get to a place where I say, Lord, help me to get up. Help me to get up. Help me to get out of this place of what was in need and what was in want. Help me to get up and walk and go. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Ephesians 4, 18 to 20. What you find in the lost is in their minds and their hearts. No light, full of darkness. Says this in Ephesians 4. Having therefore their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their what? Your heart, my heart will become blind. My heart, your heart, you can become blind. Why do you say heart? Why do you say not right? Blind. Out of focus. Your heart has become blind to the heart of need. You have heard him and have been taught by him that the truth is in Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4, 3, 4 says this. But even if a gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. His mind for God of this age has what? Their hearts and their minds have been affected by the lack of vision. Not able to see. Not able to see. One of the greatest threats in the Christian's walk is to lose vision. I'm not talking about having a vision statement. I'm not talking about having a vision statement like you go and you walk around every week and say, this is our vision for them. Not having a yearly vision declaration, this is our vision. I'm talking about your heart, your mind losing vision, by getting blinded by the things of this earth, and we go dull in hearing, dull in heart, dull in spirit. We become blinded by it. One of the greatest threats of Christian walk for this vision is the place of familiarity. An unregenerate mind which causes us to walk calmly in the ways of the flesh. That's what happens when my mind gets blinded. I become unregenerated in my mindset and I start walking and thinking calmly. I don't see what he's done. I remember what other people have done. I walk in the pain of my yesterday. I walk in unforgiveness. I don't walk in the mercy and the grace of God. Now I want someone to help me. I want someone to do something for me. Oh, it's all about me. And what happens is when I get all about me, I become self-centered. Where a Christian shouldn't be self-centered, they should be outwardly focused. Are you with me? Unregenerated wrongs causes us more calmly in the flesh. A redevelopment of the heart of a stony heart towards his bride. Stop, David. Stop. A hard heart is what is right. When you allow offense to rule the heart, and you are blinded by offense, my heart, which has been transferred, Ezekiel 36, 26, from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh, can again become hardened. And no longer am I feeling the presence of the things of God, but now I'm hardening my heart towards Him and His bride. Because of things. You say, well, you know, Pastor Dave, you know, I heard you talk about that a while ago. Offense, offense, offense. Offense is always going to be there. Offenses will occur. You will. If you're a real Christian, you will be offended. You will be offended. It's not the offense, it's what I do with the offense. How do I respond to the offense? Words only have the power that I give them. What am I doing with offense? What, if anything, is there any partiality in the blindness of my heart or my mind? Is the word still relevant and prevalent in my heart and my mind? Do I seek it? Do I desire it? Do I want to read it? Is it there for me to read and there for me to want to understand? Am I seeking the Lord and asking Him for wisdom? Am I asking the great teacher Himself, teach me your ways and your things of your word? Or have I put it aside because of familiarity? Has anyone ever been there? Familiar? Just a moment. It's all right. Familiarity. The Christian here might be short-sighted, partial vision. Partial blindness. Turn with me to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1. Simon, Peter, one servant, apostle of Jesus Christ, those who have obtained precious faith in us by the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you and the knowledge of our God and Jesus Christ our Lord. Who likes that part? We like that part. That's a blessing. Grace and peace be multiplied to you, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Has given us how many things? I have the power to live a godly life. I have the power to live a godly life. Through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, give all diligence, add to your faith. Now here's the second step. Add to your faith virtue. What is virtue? Virtue is moral living and moral excellence. In other words, faith without works is He expects me to live morally right. He expects me with all that is within me to live a moral lifestyle, not the way the world lives. My life should be the second witness to me that I am saved. Amen. Add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, not self-control, perseverance, godliness, godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, the last one above. For if these things are yours and abound, you are neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even through what? Blindness. So there is partial vision, there is blindness. when I refuse to allow it to live a lifestyle after his own, and a mindset after his own, and allow offense to rule and dominate my heart, to have my heart before a heart and mind to come hard, what is happening is I become blind. I have become blind. Jesus has come to heal the blind. There's no blindness that Jesus can't heal. But what I've got to do is understand that it can affect me as a Christian. It can affect my lifestyle. In fact, if you allow it to be permeated, it will affect the house. If bitterness has ever been within you, James said it's a root system. Do not allow the root of bitterness to dwell within you. It's a root system. It starts to spread underground, you cannot see, and others cannot see, until it pops up somewhere else in your life, or with someone else in your life. And you've got to cut that root out. Amen? Let's get back. Feel with me, Matthew 7, verse 1 and 2. Matthew 7, verse 2. When Jesus healed the blind man who was born blind, he led him out of the city and told him up to the back. There's a born again believer, we do not go back to the old things. We have to stay out of that. Matthew 7, 1 and 6. Matthew 7. Matthew 7 talks about law and the splinter. This one. Judge not, and be not judged. For with what you put judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use it, you will be measured back to you. And why do you say, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eyes, or eye, if you don't consider the plank in your own eye? The old King James would say, you're wrong. You're wrong. Why am I, as a Christian, judge what I should not judge? If I'm judging, why do I look at the speck of my name in something like that when there's a major in my own life? The speck is a minor. Measure the speck against the wall. When you have a law, I mean a law, well, you know, two before, but a law, this law, as big as your head, in your life, then you can't see anything but the what? The law. You are so focused on the law, but when someone comes next to you, they might have a little speck, you jump on their back. Oh, you've got this one. Oh, you should do that. You're not right. So he jumps me. Oh, I haven't seen it. I don't watch TV. So we jump. People jump on other people because they don't align with what they call a way of living. And Jesus is saying, what about the law, brother? What about the log in your own eye? What about that huge problem you had? The first thing you've just done is you've just judged them. What about that judgment? Because how you judge, you shall be. And with the same judgment, you shall be judged back to you. So when I'm speaking to them, I'm actually speaking to me. Doesn't mean my brother hasn't got something in his eye. The Bible doesn't say that. It doesn't say he hasn't got anything in his eye. Rather, it means, is my focus on the step when I need to deal with the Lord? This is the blindness of one's heart. This is the blindness of one's heart. Self-righteousness will blind your heart. Really, what we should be saying is things like this. dig a life and by the grace of God. Amen. Dig a life by the grace of God. Lord, change me. Change me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me to renew this mind. Father, don't allow my heart to get harder. Keep me supple. Keep me soft. Keep me pliable in your hands. If you need to spit on something, spit on me. Shout me. I need it. Help me. David said it like this. Pray to me, O Lord, a clean. Renew in me a right. Pray to me a clean heart. How can you say to your brother, let me do a good step in your eye and look, take this in your own eye? Hypocrite. I mean, that's a powerful word. The word hypo means this, to keep lower beneath. Below belief. In other words, my self-righteousness is more than to be below me. I promote itself. You hypocrite. How can it be? How can it be? Help us, help us all, my king, to concentrate on what is blocking my vision for my future and my world. Help me to have courage to deal with my wrongs and my needs. Lord, in my own mind, I try not to find him in the spending. He is building a body of believers, a body of Christ, that will develop and reveal Christ in these days like never before. And I can't afford to be blind and hard enough against another believer. And then we need. Revelation 3, 14 and 19. And to the angel of the church of Laodicea, where Laodicea was lukewarm or indifferent. Lukewarm or indifferent. And to the angel of the church of Laodicea, write the words of the Amen, the faith of the true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither hot, neither cold, nor hot. Would that you were neither cold or hot? For because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will speak to that in my mouth. Who's he talking to? Is he talking to unbelievers? He's talking to the church. I will speak to that in my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I am prosperous, I need nothing. Not realizing that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, and what? Ooh. So people in the church can be blind. You can. And David, I counsel you to buy from the gold refined by the fire. That's not working. I counsel you. In other words, take heed to what I'm saying. Now, when Jesus says he's going to counsel you, I guarantee you he's right. I guarantee you he's right. I counsel you to buy from me. In other words, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost me something. If I want to buy it, it's going to cost me something. Come and buy from me. Gold defined by the what? You ever sing a song? We find this fire. All my heart's desire is to be holy. We find this fire causes a wholeness in your life. We find this fire brings a separation. We find this fire separates the gold from the dross. We find this fire takes all that stuff that the impurities that once get out of me bring forth pure gold are the richness of the Spirit. Amen. The richness of the Spirit. Buy from me gold refined by the fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen. And slav, which is an ointment used to promote healing of the skin as a protective slav, cream, ointment. It's there to protect you, it's there to nourish you, it's there to change things. As slav, ointment, oil. Who speaks of the oil? Who typifies oil in the Bible? The Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit entertain and move in your life, and that He can bring the healing in you, the soothing and the oil flowing in your life. And in your belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. Something should be flowing in me. We are super sons of the fresh oil. Oil should be flowing through me. There should be an oil. In fact, there should be a residue of oil wherever you go. There should be a residue of the anointing on your life wherever you go. Hallelujah. Allow the slave to heal your eyes. Anoint your eyes. Say, God, let me see as you see. Let me see the perspective that you see things. Give me your focus on things. Let me see as you see. Lord, don't allow me to be so judgmental, so hypocritical. Heal my heart. Heal my mind. Pray to you. Form to you. Jacob, in the Genesis book of Israel, after the rescue of God. Remember that? Jacob the man placed his family in order on the ground. He crossed the river, put Leah in the front of the river in case Esau crossed it and killed him. So he said, well, let Leah die with the kids first. Make sure you go right back. He did. Seriously. But that's what Jacob does. And when he crossed the river, he said that he met God. And he wrestled with him all night. The first thing Jesus, the angel of the Lord Jesus, said to him was this: what is your name? What is your name? Because the first thing that ever attacks the Christian life is identity. New Testament. Jesus gets the temple. If you are the Son of God, identity. He attacks identity. What is your name? Your name for another one called Jacob, the shepherd called Israel. And he touched him. Does anyone know what he touched? He touched his hip. He touched his hip and changed his walk. That's why the Jews never eat the fire. They never have feasts. Touched the hip, changed his walk. Jesus comes to touch us. And we think everything's going to be sweet by and by. But when you sometimes have a heart condition, sometimes have a mind issue, and sometimes have a right to it, we might have to get alone and be wrestled. Anyone ever been alone with God? And there's been a wrestling? And sometimes we wrestle with God because we think, or He should. That reminds me, what's your name? In other words, you are not your own, you've been born with a price. You are mine. What's your name? Then you remind yourself, I am a servant of the Most High. When he touches your hip, changes the walk. changes your perspective, changes your vision. Virtually loved, nearly hated. Yeah, that's true. Is that what the Bible says? Yet when Jacob, Israel, died, he was buried with Leah. But Christ didn't come through Rachel. He came through Leah. Judah was the child of Leah. The one that Jacob hated. Yet the one that Israel learned to love. And the one that Israel, God honored with the lineage of Jesus Christ. So what might be despised in men's eyes, be very careful. Because God's anointing and blessing and favor can be upon them. So be very careful what you speak. It's not the Aaron Norman he's looking at. It's not the hallelujah you might need. It's a sanctified lifestyle and fruitfulness of the Spirit that is beholding. Are you with me? Have that truth in your life. I'm not asking the question, you're saying. Have her treat my wife. Have her speak to her. Have her honor my husband. What am I raising my kids in? Is the priority the gospel? Is the priority me? He wants to make a net. He wants to get a fish on the right side. He wants to fill the net. For the harvest is white. The harvest, there's nothing wrong with the harvest. I don't care what people say. They can say anything they want to do. The harvest of the world is still white. Whether it's mucking up, whether it's screwed up, whatever it is, it's still white. It's the laborers that are feeding. Jesus has never had a problem with the harvest. I think the church has made too many excuses about the harvest. But we've got to remember the harvest hasn't changed for 2,000 years. It's the laborers that are few. Because too many saints are still at the pool, waiting for a stirring, waiting for a moving, partially blind because of judgment in their hearts. Partially blind because their minds are sealed. And God's saying, will you allow me to heal them once and for all so you can see the flesh and see how he wants you to see, have his focus, have his perspective on things of God. Therefore, I have the mind of. Therefore, my heart is the heart of. Easy to move, easy to touch. I don't imagine that I'm an ordinary. I'm an ordinary. If that means he's got to touch me, change me, if he's got to skin my eyes, if he's got to make some play, or if he's got to drag me out of that place, or if he's got to lay hands on me, got to get me alone, and touch my wall, let it be. Let it be. I am not here just to have church meetings. I'm here to see souls touched, families restored, children coming back to the kingdom of God, mothers and fathers, families coming together as one, walking out and being everything God intended for their life, which is wholeness, blessing, fruitfulness. That's what we want. Does anyone want that? Let's stand.
Hallelujah. I think we're all guilty of looking at the state in a long time. I don't think anyone's exempt. If we're really honest. How happy to support things? A lot of times, it's usually with my wife, trying to be really respectful. She's been saying to me, she doesn't know me. It's the truth. But forgetting that there's a lot in my own life, my kids, then if God doesn't care to be honest. Your God, your Lord, the love of your soul is dear this morning. Give us a touch. You're not alone in this. The greatest man in the world was Jesus, he was against blindness. If you have a blind spot, I encourage you to be with a blind man. My prayer should be this. Change the world. If your eye offends you, what you're just saying is your vision is going to be puffed out. You need the master's touch this morning. You just raise your hands before the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, you see our hands raised this morning. Father, we see our hand raised this morning. That prayer this morning has changed me. Lord, I want to be part of the next. I want to be part of the solution. I want to be part of the hope. Father, lead me out of that place I'm in. Take me by my hand and lead me out. This day I choose to forgive. This day I choose to get up. This day I choose to walk out of that place. This day I choose not to go back because you told me not to go back. I refuse to go back at my sin. I refuse to go back at my yesterday. I refuse to be back. Father, your mercies are new every morning. I receive your mercy afresh. I receive it. I shout to my mountain, grace, grace. I thank you, Lord. You're my way maker. You're my miracle worker. You're my promise keeper. And I receive it by faith. Father, help me to walk out this virtue of moral excellence, this virtue of walking morally for you. That I just don't talk the talk, but I'm one that will walk with you. I thank you this morning. I believe you for it this morning. And I praise you above all that you're on the throne and you rule in your reign. You're on the throne of my heart. In Jesus' name. That's you this morning. Shout out to you.